Hi, this is Stephen Anthony, JLOUT Underline Tribute, and I'm contributing to the VI Talks channel a response to Jenny NEU92, her thoughts on accessibility when swimming. The lockers being brailled, a great idea. I think those that go swimming should approach the swimming pool staff or management. If they say it's a cost problem, then if you're someone that does braille, you could actually say, well, how many lockers do you have? And then you could literally do the braille numbers for them on sticky label, cut them out, and say to one of the staff, do you mind if we just go to all the lockers and let them or yourself place them in a, you know, the appropriate place so people will find them? The swimming pool, the larger picture for someone like myself is because I lost my sight later on in life, I wasn't aware on how much I was using my sight whilst in a swimming pool. And the last time I went swimming, because the place echoes like crazy, I could never locate whereabouts I was in the pool. There was no way. There wasn't like looking over at the edge and seeing that the edge, you know, of the width of the pool is close to me or the length of the pool is in front of me. I hadn't got a clue. I could have been swimming from corner to corner for all I knew. And it's down to the fact that I guess a lot of people that was taught to swim who were totally blind would have been taught at school. Therefore, they would have learnt how to, you know, keep straight in a swimming pool and what to use to locate. I used to love swimming. It's a great form of physical exercise. I think it's possibly the best of them all. If you go swimming and you don't just play around in the swimming pool, but you decide you're going to sort of swim, I don't know, 10 or even say 20 lengths only, if you're going to do that. If you did that once a week, you'd start to get very fit because there's so many muscles that are used when you're swimming and the resistance of the water. So it's a great exercise. I used to love it. I did start a class about 10 years ago at the point where my daughter was very young. I wanted her to be able to swim. So I actually started this class with no intentions of swimming. And the swimming instructor actually said to me, do you swim? And I said, yes, I used to love swimming. And he said, stay after class. He said, once all of them have got out, I was with other people that could look after my daughter because she was only about 3 or 4 at the time. And so I stayed behind in the pool and he said, let me watch you swim. And I felt really, you know, a little bit sort of on display. And he said, who taught you to swim? And I said, I wasn't one of the best swimmers at school. I was someone who could swim, but they concentrated a little bit on the better swimmers to get their technique even sharper. And he said, because you obviously look after yourself, he said, you have the power within your body to be a great swimmer. And he said, let me show you a few tips right now. And he stayed over an extra 15 minutes that night. And in 15 minutes, he'd got rid of all my bad habits. And then he said to me, what we can do is each week, we can let you have 10 minutes at the end of the swimming. That's not a problem. And that happened for about a year. And this guy had me where there was nobody, none of the other parents or none of the other swimmers in that pool could come close to my speed in the swimming pool. Sadly, this guy, he was like, you know, I thought he was one of the most amazing people I ever met. And sadly, he passed away about 18 months after. So and not sadly on the situation that he was helping me. I don't mean like that. I mean, he was just an amazing person. And it was a real, real sad loss because, like, he helped my daughter to be able to swim. He helped so many people and he had the most amazing outlook. Didn't see anyone having disability at all. He was totally looking on the things that you can do, like, He could almost see what it would be like not to be able to see and then sort some of the problems out. And he knew that I wasn't going to swim down the swimming pool whilst there was little children at the other end in case I knocked into them. He totally got that. He didn't turn around and say, oh, don't worry, you can do it. Don't let them kind of things put you off and do all the patronising nonsense. He knew why I didn't want to do this and he totally got why I didn't want to do this. So he didn't do this. He actually let me swim after all the little ones had got out. eventually some of the adults would stay behind once they realised that they could actually have an extra 15 minutes. But they knew that I wanted to sort of be, you know, able to swim lengths of the pool. They knew to watch out for me. That was different, so the adults could do that. I've not been swimming now for, what we're looking at, 12 years, and I miss it terribly because it is something that's an incredible joy, and also it keeps you very, very fit. It's not the assistance getting in and out of the pool that's the issue. It's the being able to locate when you have no sight whatsoever in a swimming pool. I cannot work out, you know, I could start swimming thinking I've got the length of the pool in front of me and I might be 4 feet away from the edge of the pool because I don't have hearing location or anything like that. My eyesight was 10 years ago when I completely lost it. So I don't have any of these techniques. It's funny really because people talk about independence, and I am going to go on to independence just briefly. When I had eyesight that I thought was staying stable, it wasn't amazing eyesight. I mean, I could do everything without a white cane, but it wasn't enough sight that I would ever even be considered to drive a car. But I know people who had more sight than me that would be more comfortable using a cane, but I had a thing about the white cane, so I wasn't going to use it. And I used to travel the country, and when I was told at college that it was one of the criteria that you have to do mobility, which I'm not sure if this is still the case, but it used to be at the RNC, I did 1 week, and then they sent me a little memo through saying, you don't need mobility. And there were friends of mine who were almost as independent as I am, and they had to complete a mobility course, and they were like weeks and weeks later, if not months later, before they were told they didn't need mobility. But then when you lose your eyesight completely, it's a totally different ball game. Those of you who've got a little bit of eyesight thinking it's useless, you won't know unless you lose that little bit of eyesight just how much you use it. Even if it's following the light so you find that's where the doorway is, or you know that's where the window is. That kind of light lets you know if you can see that the window's on the right-hand side of you, someone could spin you round in that room and you would know where you were in that room because you look for where the window is and that becomes the locator, the light coming through the window. When there's no sight at all, you spun round in that room, and if everybody stayed silent, you wouldn't have a clue where you are in that room until you touch something. And if I'm in my kitchen, because all my services are the same, I've been talking to people who have been walking around as I'm talking, so I'm then turning a little bit to face them as they're talking. They've left the room, and I have, for a moment there, touched the side, thinking, is this near the sink? Is this near the cooker? Is this near the door? Because all my services are identical, but because this person's been talking to me and walking around as they've talked to me, in my own kitchen, I can feel like I'm lost. And I had amazing independence. And I mean, my guide dog gives me great independence now, but a swimming pool environment, no way. I don't think I can even be taught how to do that. I know some swimming pools, if they've got the staff, they will set up a lane. So they will make it that you've got a lane, which is great if they can do that. The problem with most swimming pools is they're running on a shoestring now. And the staff that they employ, the majority of them will be on minimum wage. And so there's not the training that there used to be with the staff. I mean, obviously there's the health and safety training, so no one can drown in the swimming pool for the lifeguards and that. But there isn't the same kind of health and safety. There isn't the amount of staff where if you're disabled, you can go there and have one-to-one support, because they just don't have the money. And some of this accessibility that we talk about, it's not people that's deciding to turn away from us. It's affordability. So they might have one blind person, if you know, maybe two a week if they're lucky, at the most, go to that swimming pool. They can't have staff on waiting for someone who can't see to turn up at that door and then take care of them. So if the staff do seem to be a little bit sort of hurrying you along and everything else, it's because you've been added to their duties for that day and their duties for that day are probably already filled that day. And it's an interesting point. I hear this on here all the time, that some people, they are a little bit, I don't know whether it's called I-centric or me-centric or whatever it is, but there are situations out there where it is fantastic that people are out there supporting us and there for us and helping us and everything else. But we are such a minority. The fact that there is so much support is amazing. And of course, we should push for more. But if we don't always get it, some of the reasons aren't to do with prejudice. They're to do with cost and with swimming pools. I was very fortunate to have that situation with this guy called Les that sort of helped me. That was a very, very rare situation. And just for the record, he wasn't paid. This guy used to be a teacher and he was a retired teacher. And he used to have a swimming pool, which a school owned. And they used to let him do these lessons for small children to learn to swim. In the area, and he used to do it voluntary. He didn't get paid at all. And they're the people that really care, because they don't have to be there. They could be sitting playing on the computer or sitting watching TV, but they don't. They get off their arses and they're actually at these places and helping, you know, the likes of us and young children and whoever. And it's that voluntary sector that sometimes gets overlooked and almost like, oh, they're just a volunteer. I've heard that said before, they're just a volunteer. And I feel like getting hold of the manager saying, and you wouldn't even be here if you wasn't paid $50,000 a year. Don't you dare say they're just a volunteer. And so, yeah, I've gone off on quite a few tangents here this morning. All sort of based around the fact that a swimming pool isn't the easiest thing once you're in the pool. If there are those out there that swim on a regular basis, and I'm not talking about those that will tell me they can't see and they can a bit, because that don't count. I'm sorry, but there's a massive difference between having enough eyesight to see the window and no eyesight at all. So if there are those out there that are totally blind and understand how to navigate a swimming pool with the noise of loads and loads of screaming children and adults shouting and the echoing of the room, I'd be absolutely fascinated. It doesn't mean I'm going to do it, but I'll be really fascinated to know how you can do it. I'll speak to you all soon.